Love is a subject that has been celebrated in poetry and movies and song. Many poems have been written about love. Love is a many splendored thing is the title of a song and a movie. The Beatles had a song called All You Need Is Love. But I'm not sure what they meant by that. You can't always tell what is being celebrated in these modern movies and songs about love because the meaning of love has become so distorted. Romans 12:9 is an admonition for genuine love. The New International Version says, "Let love be sincere." The word sincere has an interesting background. Our English word sincere is based on two Latin words, sine and cara, which literally mean without wax. Sine, S-I-N-E, means without, and cara, C-E-R-A, means wax. In English, that becomes sincere. But in Latin, it literally means without wax. You see, in ancient times, wax was often melted into the cracks of inferior pottery to disguise its defects so that it could be sold for a higher price than it was worth. Quality pottery was stamped sine cara, without wax, to guarantee that it had not been doctored. It had no defective cracks in it to be hidden with wax. In the original Greek text, the word that is translated sincere in the New International Version is anhypokritos, which means without hypocrisy. That is why the New American Standard Bible reads, "Let love be without hypocrisy." The Greek word anhypokritos literally means without a mask. In the Greek theater, actors who wore masks to play a role on stage were called hypocrites. So hypocrites are actors who play roles. A hypocrite is someone who hides his true self behind a mask. The old King James Version reads, "Let love be without dissimulation." The New King James Version says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." The English Standard Version says, "Let love be genuine." That's the idea. Love must be sincere. Love must be without hypocrisy. Love must be genuine. So what does genuine love look like? Our text not only admonishes us to love, it tells us what genuine love looks like. And the first thing it says is genuine love is discriminating. Romans 12:9 begins, "Let love be genuine." And then says, "Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." Genuine love discriminates between what is evil and what is good. It hates what is evil and clings to what is good. This kind of love is not popular in our culture today. Our culture is enamored with love, but not a love that discriminates between good and evil. The kind of love our culture is enamored with does not abhor evil. Instead, it loves the things that the Word of God defines as evil. And how are we to discriminate between good and evil? We have to read the Bible. God's Word defines what is good and what is evil. The Bible says that God is love. The Bible also says that God is a consuming fire. When the Bible says that God is a consuming fire, it speaks of God's holiness. We live in an age where even many professing Christians want to emphasize the love of God and de-emphasize His holiness. Because God is holy, there are things that He hates. Proverbs 6:16-19 is one place that names some things that God hates. It says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. A number of years ago, when the so-called new morality was at the crest of its popularity, some theologians met at one of the prestigious Eastern seminaries to discuss it, the new morality. Most were in favor of the new morality. So the discussion centered on the value of being free from rules and regulations, including those found in the Bible. But there must be some guidelines, someone said. This was discussed, and at length it was decided that the only acceptable guideline was love. Anything that flowed from love was permissible. Anything was allowed so long as it did not hurt anyone. While this discussion was progressing along these lines, a Roman Catholic priest who had been invited to the discussion and who was in the room became very quiet. At length, his silence was noticeable. So the others turned to him and asked, "What do you think? Don't you agree that the only limiting factor in any ethical decision is love?" The priest replied, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He was quoting Jesus. He was pointing out that love may be a valuable guideline, but only if it is love in conformity with the love of God and therefore also in conformity with the commandments God has given. In other words, love has to be defined by God's Word. The commandments of God will enable us to discriminate between what is evil and what is good so that we can cling to the good and hate the evil, thus making our love genuine. The second thing this text says is that genuine love is kind to other Christians. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection." Those words mean that, in respect to the love of our Christian brothers and sisters, we are to be marked by a devotion that is characteristic of a loving, close-knit, and mutually supportive family. The King James Version of this verse reads, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." Kindly is based on the word kin, meaning family. So what we are being told is that we are to treat Christians as we would members of our family, which they are, of course. Jesus was approached one time by his mother and brothers. Jesus was in a house, and his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." Christians are our family, regardless of their background, race, nationality, work, wealth, or education, or even whether we like another believer at first glance. That is irrelevant. Do you remember the first verse of the hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds"? It goes, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." Kindred minds means the minds of those who are spiritual kin. That is, who are members of God's new family on earth. So our devotion to one another is not to be a matter of liking one another necessarily, but of being kin to one another in Christ. That is what we mean when we say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the communion of the saints. There ought to be that family love among the members of the church. And people are looking for that kind of love. I read a story some years ago, and I looked for it in my notes, but I couldn't find it. Anyway, the story went like this. A father who was estranged from his son in a South American city put an ad in the local newspaper that said, "Jose, all is forgiven. Meet me by the fountain in the square at noon on Sunday. Love, your father." At noon on Sunday, 100 boys named Jose showed up at that fountain in the square. It is just a suspicion of mine, but I suspect that there are people all over the place who are starving for real, genuine, family-type love. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be a place to find it. Well, the third thing this text says is that genuine love is unselfish in that it honors others above self. Romans 12:10 says, "Outdo one another in showing honor." What this means is, don't wait around for people to notice your contributions and to honor you. Instead, be alert to what they are contributing and be the first to honor them. Unfortunately, this is not what usually happens in churches. Instead of thinking about and approaching what other Christians are doing, appreciating what other Christians are doing, our minds are on ourselves, and we resent that we are not sufficiently recognized or appreciated. Instead of honoring other Christians, we become jealous of other Christians. That is why Paul wrote in a similar vein to the Philippians, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others." This is how genuine love functions. It goes to the front of the line not to receive its own honors, but to show honor and respect for other people. This is a call to not be self-centered. This is a call not to think the universe revolves around me. Genuine love is unselfish. Fourthly, genuine love is zealous in Christian service. Romans 12:11-12 says, "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." Those two verses contain statements about not being lazy in the Christian life. Christian love is zealous, fervent, serving, patient, and constant. This word, fervent in spirit, is a word that speaks of intensity and determination. It's an athletic term for stretching to reach the tape at the finish line. If you've ever watched any races, you have seen when the runners come around that last turn and they're pressing for the tape at the finish line. They'll get right to the end and then they'll lunge forward. Sometimes they fall on their face right there on the track because they're pushing to reach the tape ahead of the others they're competing against. It's the idea of intensity at the tape, stretching yourself. Those who do the long jump leap into the air and throw their feet forward, and they, with intensity, stretch every muscle of their body to reach as far as they can reach. The same with the high jumpers or with the pole vaulters. They stretch to the uttermost to reach the limit. That's the word fervent. Genuine love is like that. Fervent in spirit. What does genuine love look like? Genuine love is discriminating. Genuine love is kind. Genuine love is unselfish. Genuine love is zealous. And finally, genuine love is generous. Romans 12:13 says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." That speaks to me of a spirit of generosity. Love is not stingy. And love is not cold and standoffish. I heard John Claypool tell a story one time that illustrated to me a spirit of generosity. But I decided it was too cheesy, so I'm not going to tell it. I think stinginess and unfriendliness are easily noticed. People pick up on that sort of thing right away. Genuine love is marked by a spirit of generosity. So this is what genuine love looks like. Genuine love is discriminating. Genuine love is kind. Genuine love is unselfish. Genuine love is zealous. And genuine love is generous. Now the question is, how can I practice this kind of love in a society that is contrary to everything I love and cherish and live for? How can I practice this kind of love in a world that is hostile to our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example of how to do it. He loved sinners so much that He was accused of being a wine bibber and a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners and mingled with them, but He never committed sin Himself. He never condoned or approved of sin. He always denounced sin. He demonstrated that He had the power to forgive sins. He told the woman accused of adultery to go and sin no more. He walked into the temple one day, and because of zeal for the house of God, He turned over the tables of the money changers and ran them out with a whip. He scolded the scribes and the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. The last time He went to Jerusalem, He looked out over that city and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. See, your house is left to you desolate." And then He went to the cross and gave His life to turn back the wrath of God and to redeem sinners. Jesus is the perfect example of love that is discriminating, kind, unselfish, zealous, and generous. That is what this passage challenges us to be. May God help us first to give ourselves to Jesus and then to be like Him in genuine love. Amen.